Thank you for tuning in to Richardson Cove Baptist Church Podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning worship service.
We continue our study in Acts at the birth of the church. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read out of Acts chapter number 2. We're going to pick up in verse number 14, read down to verse number 21. Verse 14, chapter 2 of Acts. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing is it but it is but the third hour of the day, which be about 9 a.m. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, we're thankful for your word. Thank you, God, for this service, the time we've already been able to enjoy being together, hearing about you, stories about you, amazing miracles that you've performed. And God, we lift these songs of praise up to you. Thank you for all that have had part in the service thus far. God, I pray and ask your forgiveness of my sins. Cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. I don't want to be a hindrance today of anybody coming closer to you. I don't want to be a stumbling block, God, in the thing that you might want to do in somebody's heart. I pray that your Holy Spirit has complete freedom here today. Speak to us, convict us, challenge us, encourage us, whatever it is, God, that we need to do. There's folks that are hurting for themselves, hurting for somebody they love. God, we pray for that comfort to be there. Folks that are here and just unsure, unsettled in their relationship to you, we pray, God, for your Spirit to bring that conviction where needed and that encouragement and confidence from your Word also where needed. Sometimes we get lazy, Lord. We get spiritually lazy and we just don't serve you the way we should. We're too selfish and we think about ourselves and what we want more than what we need to do to accomplish your will and to glorify the name of our blessed Savior Jesus. So, God, we pray today you would bring that encouragement to us today. Get us motivated. Let your Spirit be stirred up within us, God, that we'll be excited about telling people about you. We thank you for the gift of salvation you give us. It is a gift. You give it to us freely if we choose to believe and trust in you. Thank you for the souls that are saved. Those that are in here this morning, God, that know you as Savior, we pray, God, for you to guide them and lead them into your truth. And as we finish up even today, God, we pray that through this week you'll give us that vision of what's in store for us and open up those doors of opportunity, the possibilities, God, that you have for us. So today as we look in your word, Father, I pray that you speak to us as the days of the early church, as they were stepping out into the unknown, God, and they were stepping out in faith. We pray, God, that that message preached at Pentecost will continue to ring true to us today, that God will receive your word, we'll hear it, we'll listen to it, God, we'll take it within our hearts, and we'll apply it, God, to our lives. All to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love it, don't you? Out of the mouth of babes. How good is it when you're going to study the Word of God, there's a lot of places you can go to get inspiration. And we can be inspired and encouraged. But I think when you get in the book of Acts and we start looking at the church in the early days and we see all those things that they faced, the world has never seen anything like the early church before. Sure, Jesus was here and he was walking around on the earth. He was here for about 33 years. Jesus was teaching. He was healing. He was raising from the dead. He was multiplying food. He was bringing all the provisions people needed. And at the same time, he was saving souls. He was the master teacher. I mean, every word that came out of the mouth of Jesus was brilliant. There's nothing he ever said that wasn't accurate, that wasn't on time, that wasn't perfect for every situation. Not everybody liked everything Jesus said, but everything Jesus said was very timely. So Jesus was here about 3.5 years of his life. He had his ministry from baptism to his death, burial, resurrection, then finally ascension. So they had Jesus for about 3.5 years. That's long enough for you to really get used to somebody, isn't it? That's long enough for you to build a relationship with somebody. And all of a sudden, when that person is gone or taken away, their lives were rocked. They were changed forever. Jesus had been telling them, I'm going to go. But they didn't want to believe it. They didn't want to receive it or take it in. They wanted to feel like Jesus was going to be with them forever. And in a way, Jesus is with them forever, isn't he? Jesus said, I've got to go away so the Spirit can come, the Comforter can come. If I don't go, he's not going to come. I don't understand the dynamics of why Jesus had to physically go and the Spirit couldn't be here as well. But I do understand God's plan. I understand that Jesus didn't need to be here physically. God had accomplished that part of what Jesus needed to do at that point of time. So now the physical presence of God needed to go back to heaven so the Spirit of God could come and indwell every believer so that you and I are not fighting over time with the physical Jesus that would have been here. That could have caused chaos down the road. So Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He loved his people, but he knew he had to go so the Spirit could come. Now the Spirit is here. We talked last week about when the Spirit came on them, those cloven tongues, tongues of fire. They were preaching powerful the Word of God. They were preaching about salvation. They were telling people of all these wonderful things. So in the midst of all this preaching, all these folks receiving in their own language, their own dialect, Peter, of all people, wouldn't you know, Peter is going to be the one guy to step up. Peter is one of those guys that sometimes speaks before he thinks. He's the kind of guy that puts his foot in his mouth a whole lot, and he jumps before anybody else does. He jumped out of the boat onto the water to walk to Jesus. He jumped out of the boat to swim to Jesus when he was on shore and realized who it was. Peter's one of those that he is outspoken. He is the one to be in the very front, and sometimes it cost him to be in the forefront a lot of times. But Peter was nonetheless willing to get out there and to experience whatever it was. He wasn't afraid of new things. So when it came time for them to start preaching and sharing this gospel, Peter was the very first one to step up and to start preaching. And I thought it was very interesting when we think about what Peter shared and what Peter preached. You got to remember these people. There are people from all walks of life here. We know that one verse of Scripture last week said all nations were represented. All languages were represented so that once these people got saved, they were able to go back to their own native land with their native tongue and they could share that gospel. It's a beautiful thing that God wanted the gospel to begin to spread even in the early days and the very outpouring of the Spirit of God. So now we've got Peter stepping up, and so what does he say? What is significant about some of the things he says? Verse number 16, he says this, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In last week's message, we talked about all these men from these different nations, most of them being Jew or Jewish. So they understand completely the law. They understand the coming of the Messiah. They understand the importance and the relevance of the Scriptures, of the Old Testament Word. They understand the importance of trusting and believing in God's Word. So I think it's very significant for Peter to say, hey guys, what's happening today, what you're seeing and what you're experiencing today, this is something that the old prophets talked about. These very scrolls that you and I have looked at for year after year after year, you are seeing these words prophecies coming to light and being experienced today. I want to share with you just a few right here.
Of course, I know there are several, but I got a few I want to share with you. This describes that he would be buried in a wealthy man's tomb in Isaiah 53:9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Matthew 27:57-61 is the fulfillment. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and he begged for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. They would also cast lots for his clothing. Psalm 22:18, they part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. The fulfillment, Matthew 27:35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. His hands and feet would also be pierced. Psalm 22:16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I mean, just think of the odds of these things being fulfilled by the same person. Not only would Jesus have to, would whoever this Christ is going to be, or these prophecies concerning, would he have to be on spot, but you would have to have a whole lot of other people fulfilling the same roles for it to be true. The guys that cast lots for his garments, they would have to be included in it. The guys that pierced him and drove the nails in his hands and in his feet, this is before that cruelty had been established and that way of crucifixion being a known way to kill people or to punish people that they thought were blasphemers or murderers or thieves or whatever they were. He would also be beaten and spat upon. Isaiah 56:7. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that listened, that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. Matthew 26:67, the fulfillment. Then did they spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. He would enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon the ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Matthew 21:6-9, the fulfillment, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He would be preceded by a forerunner. Isaiah 43:4, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Even every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. The fulfillment, Matthew 3:1-3, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. He would also be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. The fulfillment, Matthew 2:1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Wow. I just read a few of them. There are some scholars that estimate 300 plus prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Christ that was to come. So when we take that in consideration, I know that some folks maybe believe there are less than that, but come on, What are the odds of somebody fulfilling just the ones I've read to you? What has to come into play? There are folks, and it boggles the mind. They say it's one, the odds are one in 10 to the 17th power. 17 zeros after the one. I don't even know if they had a word for that or not. I mean, I took math in school, but I don't know. Does it go that far? And so here's how I choose to understand the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the Messiah that must come and the odds of somebody fulfilling all those and everybody else being involved in that fulfillment that had part in it. There was a guy that said, if you take the state of Texas, which is a pretty big state, and you cover it with silver dollars, you know, silver dollar about so big, and you cover it about 2 inches deep with silver dollars, and you pick up one of those silver dollars and you mark on the underside of it with a magic marker, so it's labeled. Then you take a man and you blindfold him and you set him loose in the state of Texas and say, you can go anywhere you want to go and spend as much time as you want, and you've got to select only one silver dollar. My friend, that is the odds of one person being able to fulfill every prophecy concerning the Messiah. Can anybody do that? No, not just anybody can do that. Only God can do that. And that's what's so beautiful about Jesus. That's why our salvation can only come from Christ, from God Himself that had to come down and take on the flesh and live the life that you and I cannot live. Jesus had to be that ultimate and supreme sacrifice for us. I thought it is so cool that when Peter started out his message of preaching, the first thing he did is he brought all of the things all these Jews already believe in, the Old Testament, and brought them to light and said, what you are seeing now is the fulfillment of all these things that have been believed for all these years. You're seeing it happen today and right now in your very presence. God's Word is coming alive, and the church is being birthed even right now. Verse 17 of Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. When I read this and I think about the prophecies and them being fulfilled and all these men and women and children that were standing by listening to the words of Peter and the others as they preached with power from on high, from the Spirit of God, I thought not only do we need to hold true to the Word of God, we need to believe in the Word of God, which that is what the previous verse from Joel talks to us about. Read God's Word. Put confidence and stock in God's Word. You can doubt other people because other people are going to let you down, right? I'm going to let you down. I'm human. I'm going to fail, and I fail miserably a lot of times. So, well, there's only one we can put our stock in, and it is in God 100%. God is always right. So put stock in His Word. Put stock in the Old Testament. Put stock in the New Testament, in the words that Jesus spoke. But in putting stock and confidence in the Word of God, here's something I think that is a little bit humorous because it's so true with me, and I think it's so true with all of us. Don't be surprised when you see His Word come true. Does it ever shock you when God's Word comes true? I mean, I can imagine how it must have been. These people were praying. Now get this. These people were praying for Peter, who had been taken into jail. They're praying for his release. Because they knew he wasn't in jail because he committed a crime. They knew he was in jail because he was preaching and sharing the gospel, and people didn't like it. They put him in prison. So as they're praying, God sent down an earthquake and shook the prison, and the doors burst open. An angel went in, got a hold of Peter, and brought him out of prison, brought him back, and guess where the angel brought him to? He brought him to the house where the people were praying for Peter to be delivered. Isn't that awesome? Has God ever answered a prayer for you? God ever come through? God ever done something just amazing and miraculous? Has God ever provided? Has God ever met a need? Has God ever comforted? Has God ever loved? Has God forgiven? Has God done anything in your life that you have prayed about and you've seen His word being fulfilled and demonstrated? My friends, it is a beautiful thing. Why are we shocked when it happens? The angel led him out in front of the house. He goes up to the gate and he goes up to the door and nobody comes. Why? Because they're all in there praying. I mean, they're huddled up, you know. They're grouped up. They're all kneeling down. They're praying, and perhaps some of them are even weeping. Oh, we cannot. The early days of the church is starting. Jesus is gone. Oh, we can't have Peter go too. Don't let him die, Lord. Let Peter be free so he can help teach us and guide us and show us the ways of Jesus. We need to have Peter alive. God, don't let him be there. And again, he's knocking on that door. Finally, one little girl comes and opens the door, and she sees who it is, and you know what she does? She slams the door in his face, and she runs back to the people. She is in complete shock that what we have been praying for actually came true. You know something? I identify with that girl a whole lot more than I probably should. I identify with her because I'm a doubter at times as well. I will look at a passage of Scripture and I will say, yeah, I know that word is true. And I can see that word being true for you, but I just don't see it holding true with me. Sometimes we just doubt God working in our lives the way He wants to and the way He can. We've got to not only believe in the Word of God and have confidence in what God says and what Jesus has said in His very own words, but we've got to stop being surprised when we see God work. Maybe we're conditioned to so many people in this world today that say one thing and do something else. Man, don't you love elections? I say that as a joke. I despise elections. I don't care who's running. Because you're going to hear everybody is going to promise everybody everything. And there's no way that they can uphold even a small portion of that. But people are going to tell you things. They're going to promise you things. They're going to do all this kind of stuff. I will be there. Then they won't show up and won't be there. We put our confidence in somebody, our trust in somebody, and then that somebody lets us down. So we are conditioned in this world to not really throw our trust around. But I'm going to tell you something. When you've got somebody batting 1,000, when you've got God, that everything He has said is exactly true, because His Word is truth. It's to say the Word of God is truth is really redundant, isn't it, in a way? Because if you just say the Word of God, you're saying truth, because that's what it is. We need to grab hold of this Word and hold it for dear life. It's okay to have confidence in people. It's okay to trust somebody. It's okay to respect somebody and their opinion. But my friend, never let anything that contradicts the Word of God, never hold to that. Make sure whatever you hear, whatever advice you get from somebody, make sure it matches this, because I'm telling you, this is always true. It will never fail you. God will never fail you, because He will always tell you what's true. So hold on to the truth and don't be shocked when it happens. I've caught myself, well, wow, we prayed about that. Wow, and it really happened. One year, we were out here and we had Camp Cove. This one we had, fun day was on the last day. We had one shot at this. We had to have perfect weather. Otherwise, kids are not going to get to bounce in the bounce house, you know. And we were all distraught. We were all nervous because storms were coming. We were nervous. And we knew the storms were going to be there. And so we banded together, everybody working Camp Cove that year, and started praying. Because we knew the kids, we wanted them to enjoy that time out there. And so we prayed and we were praying and we were praying. Camp Cove was over at 6 o'clock. We said, God, please, God, don't let it rain until 6 o'clock p.m. So we prayed, prayed, prayed. The kids showed up after school. Clouds are getting a little bit darker, rolling over, you know. Got the meal in. We got the kids outside. They're bouncing. Getting a little bit more intense. We're praying. We're still praying. God, hold out. the kids got to play. Long story short, it was 6 o'clock, and we were able to bring all the kids inside, and then we started to feel our first raindrops, I kid you not, at 6:01. And you know what? I was in complete shock that God actually answered the prayer. Why do we not believe that God is able to do whatever God wants to do? And when God, He gave us confidence. We were, for some reason that night, we were confident the rain was not going to happen. We just knew it. Somehow He just let us know. But even when it stopped until 6:01, I was still in amazement. You know what I should have done though? I should have prayed for 6:10 because we had to gather up stuff and bring it in. Listen, be specific when you pray. Amen. You need a couple more minutes. You pray for a couple more minutes. It's good to get the kids in, but we've got to roll in the drop cords too. So listen, be serious about God with prayer, because God is sure serious about answering prayer when He's talking to us. Verse number 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. You know what we find here? I think what we find here is the reason that God has done everything God has done. It's all summed up in one word, love. Everything that God has done from the creation of this world, did He not even create this world and the galaxy and the stars? Did He not create everything He created, not for Himself, but for us to enjoy? He created all these things that mankind, His supreme creation, could enjoy God's handiwork. He wanted Adam and Eve to go and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He wanted them to enjoy what He had created. If He wasn't concerned about them, He would have put them in a little old shack somewhere in the middle of nowhere. There you go, enjoy that. But God created something that His creation, His supreme creation, could enjoy and experience. He gave man a mind that he can reason, he can think, he can make decisions for himself. We're free moral agents. God allows us the choice even whether we want to follow Him or not follow Him, whether we want to love Him or not love Him, whether we want to be saved by His amazing grace through the blood of Jesus, or if we want to reject that, God allows us that choice. Wow, what kind of a God is that? Hey, I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to create something, I'm going to make it do what I want it to do. I'm not giving it an ability to choose to oppose me. That shows how selfish I am, but it shows how compassionate God is with His creation. Gave them life. Loved them. Everything God has done from the beginning thoughts of creation, eons and eons ago, however long it was, when the concept of creation was birthed in the heart and mind of God, it was all because of love. I know that God wanted a companion. God wanted somebody He could communicate with. Obviously, there's nobody else equal to God, so He couldn't go next door and knock on the door. Hey, you other God, come over and let's start hanging out for coffee. I mean, there's nobody else God can talk to. There's nothing else equal to Him. So what God had to do is get somebody as close as He could get and give them a mind to reason and think and comprehend and allow them the ability to choose so He could have somebody to give an objective opinion about things. To give somebody the ability to choose to want to have a relationship with Him. So I'm telling you, talking about love, that is supreme love. To create somebody and put them in a place like Adam and Eve were in and then allow them to choose what they wanted to do. All the while sharing truth with them about what they need to do to be right with God. Stay away from the tree. Don't eat of the tree. Eat anything, stay away from the tree. So even after our sin and after our rebellion, our disappointment in our relationship with God and theirs as well, this was before the foundation of the world also. Jesus said, I will go and I will pay the price for the penalty of the sin of mankind. Wow, when we think about that sin and the sin problem that we have, we think about what Jesus actually did. And I was sharing with a young man just last night that gave his heart to the Lord. We're talking about that. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about what Jesus did, that he paid not only my sins, but he paid your sins and everybody's sins. He paid for the sins of Adam and Eve. He paid for the sins of those that are not even born yet, the first sin to the last sin. It says that he who knew no sin, get this, became sin. Blows the mind when we think of what Jesus actually did. He became sin. How does perfect God become sin? I don't know. But I'm so glad that he did. It said he took our sins and nailed them to the cross. As Jesus was nailed to the cross physically, so was every sin that had ever been committed and every sin that is going to be committed. No one can go to hell choosing to enter into hell, rejecting Jesus, without knowing that their sins had been paid for had they only chose to believe in that forgiveness and that saving power of Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the precious gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. This message Peter is preaching, and we're just getting into it. We're going to pick back up next week. This message he's preaching is so inspiring that it is a fulfillment of the truths and prophecies and Word of God concerning the Savior, the Christ that must come. And he's letting us know the reason that everything God has done for us has been done, because he loves us. Do you know Jesus loves you? Well, yeah, I know. I used to sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you really know it in your heart that Jesus loves you? Do you know that Jesus gave everything for you? Do you know that he died a cruel death on a sinner's cross for you? I know he just died. He died for the world. Yeah, he did. He did, but he died for you. He died for me. Do I really understand how much Jesus loves me and all that Jesus has in store for me and all that he wants to do in my life? It's easy for us to get idle, isn't it, in our walk with the Lord? It's easy for us to get comfortable and set and satisfied where we're at. God's not that way. And he desires for us to be moving, to be getting it, to be doing things. Let your relationship with Christ be something greater than this. Let it be greater than a ticket to heaven. Let it be a life that you live glorifying your blessed Savior who died for your sins.
We would like to thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and God bless you.